helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me is Dr. Connie Hahn. Connie, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we're going to be talking about an exciting anniversary. And before we dive right in, let me introduce our audience to you. Connie is a DO, a family medicine physician, practicing in Bozeman, Montana, and is the chairman of WPDC. Now, that's where we're going to launch from, WPDC. Connie, what is WPDC?
So the acronym is Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ. Mm. As you said, we're launching into a 30th anniversary, and we have a large history that backs that up.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you on the podcast, because 30 years of faithful service to women in medicine and dentistry has been incredible, and this is a ministry for not just those attendings, but for students, trainees, residents. Let's back up, though, before we dive into what WPDC is doing currently and how it's impacting the lives of women. How did it start? Tell us a little bit about the history and founding of WPDC.
It started back in the 1980s when women did become a large sector of these schools. We believe that God created male and female, but each with different gifts and needs, and CMDA recognized this, and they started exploring. So back then, Dr. Patty Francis, a pediatrician in the San Francisco Bay Area, was a state delegate to California, and Dr. David Topazian, DDS, was then the president of CMDA. And so in 1990, he asked Patty to investigate the needs of women physicians and dentists in CMDA. And as Patty tells the story, he said, you know, this won't take very much. I'm just kind of curious. Mm. And so that launched a huge study. So in 1992, what was then called Women in Medicine and Dentistry was given the status of commission. At that time, some of you may have heard of Reverend Marty Ensign. She was an incredible missionary. She and her husband in Burundi, part of the Rwanda uprising. But she was the first director. So she guided us and started the whole idea of getting together in conferences, starting a newsletter, et cetera. And it went from there. So in 1994, we had our first conference, and that was in Philadelphia. We had 87 attendees, which was actually pretty good for the first time. And that brings us to 2024, which is our 30th anniversary. In 2021, the name was changed to Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ. And the reason for that was we wanted to reflect the heart of the organization, which is Jesus Christ. So we wanted to put that in our title.
Connie, how did you get connected with WPDC?
When I started practicing, I trained in Arizona, did my residency at UC Davis in California. But we were from Lake Tahoe. And I told everyone in my little village of 7,000, I'll be back, you know, I'm going to practice here and da-da-da. And so I got into residency and I learned how to deliver babies. I learned how to work ventilators in the ICU and everything in between. And one day it occurred to me, oh, we don't even have a hospital in our village. And I thought, this is not going to work because I don't want to waste all this training. So we set out on an academic search of where we wanted to live. And we needed an airport. My husband had gotten his PhD. We needed a university where he could do research. We needed world-class skiing, and I needed to deliver babies. So that was our four criteria.
Okay.
We went all over the Mountain West and landed in Bozeman as the only place that had all four.
Okay.
So because we moved and we weren't networked, I started working right away. And of course, as a physician, you have an instant network.
Yeah.
My husband, on the other hand, started inventing himself, doing some research at the university, looking for colleagues, for grants and so forth. And so our marriage was upside down. Mm. So for once, the first time, I was the one going to work every day. I was on call, so I'd be up all night long delivering babies, then go in the next day and work my clinic, things like that. And my husband was trying to form his career, didn't really know anybody. We joined a great church, starting meeting friends there, but it was slow going for him. So just by default, he started doing the dishes and the grocery shopping and the laundry, and because he was home. So anyway, it was uncomfortable for both of us. We both came from traditional Christian backgrounds, and we weren't really sure what was going on. And I thought, wow, you know, this is a challenge I had not anticipated. My husband had always been a leader in the community, and so it was really different. I was reading a CMDA email, and like so many, I was very active in CMDA as a student, was even a treasurer, a leader of our group. But in residency, I sort of fell off, and I really appreciate what CMDA has done to focus on that group of members. But I was suddenly getting back to reading CMDA emails, and they talked about a marriage enrichment weekend. And I thought, oh, that's great. It's in Denver. Maybe that's what we need. So I blew it up and read the fine print, and it said for women doctors. And I about fell off my seat. I didn't know there was such a thing. And so I thought, oh, this is exactly what we need. And I can drive to Denver. So anyway, away we go. And who should be leading that but Patty Francis and Gloria Halverson was there. So talk about
two powerhouses.
It was awesome. They took me under their wings. We broke out into the small groups, women and men separately. And Gloria Halverson took me by the hand after hearing my testimony. She said, you don't need help with your marriage. You need colleagues. And I said, what do you mean? So she told me all about that, took me under wing. Patty did too. I went to my first conference after that and was immediately hooked. And they were absolutely right. Our marriage thrived after that.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. Praise God that God brought all that together for you to connect with WPDC and the marvelous women involved in that ministry to come alongside you. Well, that kind of speaks to some of the, you know, challenges that women at large have and the ways that WPDC has been able to speak into that. Could you speak into that yourself, Connie? What are some of the challenges women in medicine and dentistry are facing or have faced? And again, how is WPDC speaking into those challenges?
Yeah, let me divide this into two sections. I want to talk about the challenges, but also it can be a little bit different. What are our needs?
Yeah.
So I've already touched on the challenges. Juggling traditional family roles is huge. A lot of women don't realize they go into medicine like so many because they want to help people. As a Christian, it's an amazing opportunity to introduce people to Christ in times of needs. But, you know, suddenly you realize, wait a second, you know, I've got a lot of demands in this job. I'm gone all the time. How am I going to juggle these family roles? Another challenge is singleness. So depending on when you get into medicine, if you go a more traditional route, you may have put off marriage. You may have gotten married and put off having babies because of the demands of medical school and residency. So many women are single for quite some time. And now that becomes uncomfortable because you have just a little bit of space and you're invited to events and you don't have a partner. And the other one is sort of similar. It's just finding the balance. You know, work-life balance has become a common word at the dinner table now, but it wasn't for a very long time. And maybe it's just my exposure to medicine, but it seems like we invented the term. And there's also still disparity in salaries, not so much for doing the same job, but for promotions and looking at women as leaders and so forth. I think, though, of all of this, the biggest challenge is that I suddenly felt out of place wherever I was. So I'll give you an example. I was involved in a philanthropic educational organization, which is a women's group, and it's a Christian-based group. And I thought, oh, this will be great. I can get to know people socially. Well, many of those women became my patients. You know, it's a fairly small town. So they might have issues with hypertension or hyperlipidemia, certainly nothing that I would announce, but, you know, we might go to dinner. Oh, here comes Connie, hide the French fries. So, you know, it was just...
You're their conscience all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I don't want to be that, you know. I want to just be part of the girls, part of the gang. And so you're looked at a little bit differently. Some women are intimidated by you who don't know you. Oh, you know, she's a doctor. Mm. You go to church and that happens a lot. People don't really know what to do with you. Mm. And frankly, I don't always have a lot in common with, you know, bringing a pie or a casserole to the church picnic. It's like, boy, back then delivering babies and, you know, I didn't have time for casseroles. Funny side story, my husband was an elder in the church for 3 years. And as he stepped down, I was told that it's a tradition in my church that the wives of the elders who step down make a pie for the new elder stepping up. And when the woman told me that, I looked at her and she could see the pause and confusion. And I finally said, I've never made a pie in my life. And she started laughing. She said, that's okay, I'll make it for you. So that one turned out well. But other times, and by the way, I did try and make a pie after that challenge. And it went all over the floor in the kitchen. It was not a good thing. But anyway, so I just felt a little odd at times. And people just sort of stand back and hold back from really taking you into their fold. And you can feel that. And then even among your own doctor colleagues, I call this a trichotomy because we're talking about society, church, and your profession. They don't know what being a Christian has to do with medicine. Mm. So Christian women physicians are the minority in the medical field, definitely the minority. And so, you know, then they think, well, maybe we can't talk about this issue and that issue. Yeah. And, you know, clearly they better be prepared if they do bring up some of those issues. Yeah. But, you know, taking a stand on that and being a little intimidated that you might insult someone. We had a talk recently at our hospital about dying with dignity. Mm. And, you know, what a hook that is. That sounds so nice, but it's not.
Yeah.
And I was asked 3 times to attend this. And I finally thought to myself, I'm going to have to just say how I stand on this. I haven't heard since. I don't know who I alienated. Mm. But, you know, there's that anxiety about that and wanting to fit in, wanting to be respected, but at the same time, needing to hold to your convictions.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, you know, there's kind of a minority status being a Christian woman, physician, dentist. And it's so important that we realize we're not alone. And it can be so lonely because trying to find others that can really identify and can come alongside. And from an outsider, someone who's, well, I was at one of the, I was invited to the WPDC conference in Burlington, Vermont. So I did get to see a little bit firsthand. But one of the things that I noticed was the community. That there was just a deep love of one another. And there was friendship and camaraderie and just a love and excitement in that community, a loving community. And I get a sense that that's a real important aspect of WPDC is creating community, helping individuals understand that they're not alone in this. And can you speak into that a little bit and how important that is?
Yeah, but first let me say I'm just so flattered that you noticed that. Mm. And it's just a difference in terms of our conferences. Mm-hmm. We have different needs. One of our biggest needs is fellowship. You know, I recently saw an ad on television about loneliness and particularly with school-aged children. And they talked about all of the confusing times. And they, at the end of it, they said the one cure for this confusion, this isolation, this loneliness is relationships. Mm. And I thought, bingo, you know? So relationships are very important to us. As Gloria Halverson, for those of you who don't know, she was a recent president of CMDA Board of Trustees and one of the founding members of WPDC and some of our missions and things like that. But at any rate, so she has a lot of experience. And she explained to me that even though she started her own practice of women OBGYNs in Milwaukee and has deep roots there, the first all women OBGYN practice, she explained to me that her best friends are at WPDC. Now, she may not be able to have coffee with them on the weekends, but she can even now do Zoom, you know, conversations, emails. And I thought, that's really powerful that your best friends are with this organization compared to all the roots you have in your hometown. We need to be understood. We need to be understood by men, by society, even by CMDA, which fortunately was recognized. So those are different needs that I think are somewhat unique to women.
Let's, we promised to talk a little bit about students, because again, this is the Student Pulse podcast. And earlier in our conversation offline, we were just talking about this idea of a felt need of being a student, a Christian physician in training or dentist in training. And what do students need to understand about the importance of a ministry like this? Because they may not always, it may not feel like a felt need during those training years, but once they get out, it does become more apparent. Could you speak into just the importance of how important a ministry like WPDC is for those who are the trainees, the students and residents?
For me, my life didn't get upside down until I started practicing. Mm-hmm. But also, in addition to that, when you're a student, we've been students all our lives since kindergarten. And we've always, well, not all of us, I suppose some people have gone to gender-specific schools, but most of us have gone through school sitting side by side with the guys all along. So med school really isn't all that different. I will say that I was attracted to women in terms of my study breaks and things like that, but I never felt any different. You know, the grades were well distributed, etc. Then you get into residency, and it's pretty much the same thing. I would say in family medicine, the residencies are pretty much 50-50, and I'm sure it varies from one residency to another. But again, that, for any of you out there who are residents, you know what I'm talking about. That feels to me like wartime. I mean, you are in the trenches.
Yeah.
When I was in residency, we worked 36-hour shifts. We were keeping people alive. Mm. And the person who took over for us on our rounds would be someone who we really depended on to keep this patient alive or continue with a newborn that was preemie, what have you. So there's a lot of camaraderie and dependence on each other. And gender really isn't noticed. However, when I started practicing is when I noticed a little bit of marginalization, a little isolation, being treated a little bit differently. And also not just the way I was treated, but the way I felt, just trying to fit into all those three things I was telling you earlier.
Yeah.
That's when it really became apparent to me. And that's when I became uncomfortable, sought out the marriage enrichment, and realized what I needed was colleagues.
Well, I just think as a student, it's just so important to begin to tie into these communities at that time, in that season, and not just believe it's something for a later time, because I think it creates a continuity of relationships and care. And, like I said earlier, the kind of community that WPDC creates is such a great place for a student to get plugged in right at that very moment and not necessarily wait till their training years are over. I met a young lady when I was in Burlington who was a student, and this is a story for so many, a student connected with CMDA, lost touch with CMDA until she was well into her practice, and then got reconnected. And she got reconnected because WPDC was there. It was WPDC that was the hook that brought her back. And I praise God for that, but what a delight it would be to see students not see those gap times, that they could get connected early on, get connected with the fellowship and community of women of WPDC as a student, and allow those relationships to carry them forward in their training years throughout and into their practice. So I encourage students, get involved in WPDC. I mean, women, students, obviously, get involved in WPDC. And you all really make it easy to do that because you provide scholarships for your conferences. And talk a little bit about this upcoming conference and what do you offer for students to be able to get connected?
You bring up a really good point. I think back in my own life, if I had been prepared for what was going to happen as a practicing physician, it would have made it so much easier. So that is our focus. And also we realize these students are our future.
Yeah.
So on our website, there's a link for scholarships, and that would provide your registration, which includes all your meals. It would provide help with lodging and a little bit of help with transportation. So we are looking for students to get involved. We currently have a student and a resident from both dentistry and medicine mm-hmm. on our commission, mm-hmm. which is sort of like our council or our board, mm-hmm. but we call it the commission of WPDC. So the students are represented, and of course there's a turnover. So as we speak, I believe we have a dental student, we have a med student. I'm not sure if we have a resident, but at any rate, they have been so helpful. Some of them have even stayed on after residency just to help the students. So that has been a point of organization and just a point for these students to plug into and to come alongside another student who can help them be involved with WPDC. But yes, so the link is on our website, okay. And we would just encourage you all to reach out.
You don't want to miss this upcoming conference, no doubt. It's you all pick the best places, by the way. Newport Beach, Hilton Head. I think this year it's Branson, Missouri, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, thanks. Yeah, Branson, Missouri. It's going to be very exciting. They have an amazing show. They're doing a feature on Esther, which is so appropriate for our group. It's just a beautiful location if no one's been there before. There's other things to do. It's very special. Have you been there before, Bill? Because I have not.
I've not been to Branson. I've been to the Sight and Sound, where you're going to see that presentation, though, in Lancaster. So they do a fantastic job. I know it's going to be a fun place to be. And, of course, making it 30 years is going to be a fun party at WPDC. So this is a not-to-miss opportunity. And students, you all are being very generous with the kind of underwriting you're providing. So, I encourage students to take advantage of this. If you can get away and you should be able to find time to do this, do it.
And we try to put on our conferences all over the country. And so when we were in Grand Rapids a couple of years ago, there's quite a few medical facilities, interests, schools there, residencies there, so we can draw locally. Mm-hmm. And so that's another good reason for us to be on the West Coast, on the East Coast, in the Midwest, East Coast, North and South, Vermont, Hilton Head. We're looking at 2025 to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. That'll be a first for us. So, we really, that's a big part of our student ministry is drawing on the local student community in those areas.
That's very important. Well, we celebrate with you and WPDC and what God has done these past 30 years. It is truly a big God story, but thank you and your team and others that have come before you to be faithful, to follow that calling, and to lead the legacy that they have and continue to. So thank you for being a part of this conversation podcast today.
Thank you so much. It's been a privilege.
Before we conclude our podcast, I'd like to share a couple of things that you need to know. First of all, mark your calendar. May 2nd to the 5th, 2024, is CMDA's National Convention in the beautiful mountains of Asheville, North Carolina. Simply go to cmdstudentlife.org/NACCON to learn more about how to register and information on student scholarships, because we want to make sure that there's nothing that's going to hinder you from joining us this coming national convention, May 2nd to the 5th, in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Also, don't forget, if you want to find the Pulse podcast via our video version, you can go to our YouTube channel, and that is found CMDA Student Life at YouTube, and we have all of these audio podcasts in a video version right there for you. And to keep up with the latest information and resources, you just need to have the Student Life app. If you haven't done so, download it. You can get it on your smartphone. The app is for both the Android and the Apple, and that will keep you up to date with not only the most important information, but resources that'll be right in your pocket devotions every Monday and Thursday come out on the app, as well as group Bible studies, and the Student Pulse podcast is found on the app as well. So check that out if you haven't done so already. Download the app, set up a profile, and you'll stay connected with CMBA. And as always, you can follow and like us on all of our socials. We're on the Instagram, the Facebook, and X, formerly known as Twitter, finding us at our handle, CMDA Student Life. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse podcast, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye now.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.